Marquette's venerable Peter White Public Library serves a host of surrounding communities, which helps support the institution through taxes and fees. In fact, property tax funds pay for virtually all operating expenses. But over the past 5 years, that revenue has been declining, and it's estimated the library will lose even more tax dollars over the next several years. To provide for continued levels of staff, services, and technology upgrades, and to stabilize the public library budget, voters in the city of Marquette and four townships are being asked on November 6 to approve tax measures that restore the lost revenues. We'll discuss what's happened, what's proposed, the effect on taxpayers, and what's at stake next on Media Meet. Hello and welcome to WNMU's Media Meet. I'm Bill Hart. Our guests are Peter White Public Library Director Andrea Ingmeyer, Library Board Member John Mallow, Vote Yes Committee Member Janet Joswick of Chocolate Township, and Powell Township Resident Kathy Nelson. Welcome. We're here to talk about some tax revenue proposals on the upcoming November ballot, which may remind us of the $4.2 million library capital improvement bond, which is approved last August by voters and was effective this year. Is that right?
Yeah.
Refresh us on what was behind last year's measure, what's transpiring from it, and the difference between the proposal then and the one we're looking at now.
Sure. The bond proposal that was approved in August of 2017 was for capital improvements to the library. We had some pretty serious repair issues on the 1904 building, and we also knew that there were funding issues coming down the pike, so we wanted to take care of any energy efficiency issues and upgrades that we could while we had capital projects money to do so.
Okay.
The bond funds are only able to be used for capital improvements to the building. They can't be used for operating funds.
Yeah.
So we're making
there are a few things that are probably operationally relevant.
Yes,
heating
absolutely.
And
heating
would
and
be
cooling,
relevant, but they're not
LED,
paid for that way.
Light upgrades, those will definitely help us as
yeah.
far as energy use and electric bills and things like that, but they don't directly impact operating revenues.
Okay. The 2018 target communities are the City of Marquette, Chocolate Township, Sands Township, Marquette Township, and Powell Township.
Mm-hmm.
But there are more communities in your service area. Why those five?
Well, we have the first thing we looked at with the library board was looking at a Headley override proposal.
Mm-hmm.
Scandia and West Branch are the two other communities that we have library services contracted with, and their rollbacks are so small that it wasn't even worth putting on the ballot.
Okay.
I think when we figured the Scandia impact, it was a couple $100s.
Yeah.
So it's really not worth the effort of campaigning for such a small amount.
Oh, sure.
So really part of what we're trying to do here is equalize what the townships are paying as far as revenue into the library. It's a pretty vast difference between what Chocolat is paying and what Scandia is paying. So Scandia, all of our township rates have an approved $1 million contract with the library.
That's the maximum.
That's
right?
The max. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's what voters voted on. And Scandia pays about 0.99, and Chocolat is at 0.7284.
Okay.
So that's a pretty big difference.
Yeah, it is.
Between operating millages.
That's the clarification I think we're looking for here on the individual 2018 ballot measures. For those unfamiliar with it, the Headley Amendment was part of the taxpayer revolt of the 1970s, and it placed limits on property taxes in return for state revenue payments as aid to cities and other communities. Now, units of government are required to calculate a rollback factor, which you mentioned. It's a fraction applied to the originally authorized millage, and that's your maximum levy in most cases.
Correct.
But a levy can be requested up to the full amount if local voters approve a Headley override. Did I get that right?
Yes.
Okay,
yep.
That's a confusing thing for some people.
It is a confusing thing.
Three of the 2018 library ballot measures you mentioned are Headley override proposals.
Mm-hmm.
So you're resetting the millage rates effectively.
Correct. Correct.
How could you simplify the process as it applies to the library and explain what's proposed for, say, first the city of Marquette? We'll get to the other two.
So the city of Marquette's a little unique when compared to the other Headley overrides, because we have a 1.5 millage rate and it's in perpetuity. So we do not have to be on the ballot for the city of Marquette operating millage. It just renews forever.
Okay.
But it's down to 1.3685 right now. So we're asking for the difference between 1.5 and what's currently being paid. And then Chocolate Township and Sands Township are essentially the same. They are set, originally the millage is at 1.0, and they're both rolled back. Again, Chocolate is at 0.7284 and Sands is at 0.8288. Nice round numbers.
Yeah. what would be the annual household cost related to the extra millage in each of those cases?
Well, we usually use $150,000 as the average
benchmark.
Cost. And so for City of Marquette residents, let's see, that's Marquette Township. For a home value of $150,000, so that's a taxable value of half that, we're looking at about $10 a year additional. For Chocolate Township, again, same home value, $150,000, we're looking at about $20 a year. And that's kind of the extreme, the range there, between $10 to $20 a year additional for that same home value.
So it's easy to see how on a monthly basis, for example, that's pretty reasonable.
Yeah, it's a
compared to other things you buy at the time.
A good deal.
What are the benefits then in these cases? Are there any special benefits that accrue there? Any special outreach or pickups or anything like that that come along with that, or is this just to retain the services we have?
The Headley override funds are really they're really at retaining services we already have. And as we were meeting earlier today, we were talking about how that's not a very enticing carrot to when you're talking about asking people to continue to support the library further. John had a beautiful way of talking about this.
Well, you know, it's still there's a sense of optimism in the library since I always felt it as a community member, but now being on the board, I really feel it and have intimate knowledge of it. And that I can't say that we would stand here and say you're going to receive this or that, but we would continue that. There's always movement to reach out to townships. There's always movement to reach out even to the university. We expand services constantly. If you sit at a board meeting,
programs created and virtually overnight.
There are times when I look at my board report and think that can't be right. Somebody added a zero to how many people participated. So we would continue that if we could continue operating at our current level. But one of the factors for this is I think the library really is representative of our community and township's values. I mean, everyone speaks about the library and what a sense of optimism it is. And the library books 1,700 rooms a year for community groups. And a lot of those community groups are involved in community service. They're involved in just so many ways to give back to the community and stay engaged. So it's really an investment in the future. And if you want to be part of that, this really seems like a good deal. It literally is $10, you know. And there are folks that may be not have as many children involved as they used to or may not participate in that library, but it's part of being investing in that future. And again, being on the board, the interesting thing is if it passes or not, the enthusiasm will continue still. Yeah. But we'll be able to do so much more. We'll be able to reach out and it's just a win-win.
And I can't help but think about children's programs in particular. Now you had to make some adjustments because of the capital outlay work, but tell us what happened there.
We move our youth services department to the Westwood Mall. It's been a challenging move, for staff and patrons alike. We have patrons that I know we're not seeing as often because they're not excited about going out to the Westwood Mall. Okay. Conversely, we have new patrons who have never really been library users who started using the library because of the location. But it's been a really nice way to partner within the community.
Yeah.
And we were talking the other day, we can't imagine what we would have done if we didn't move out of the library with having summer reading and having all the materials available that we were able to. So it's really gone well.
It's remarkable to me that that you continued those programs. You, you might have curtailed them for a brief time or something, but you kept found a way to keep them up.
Yeah, that's what I mean about the sense that, the culture that's in the library, and that will continue to happen, but they'll just find a way if we can continue to operate and without these dramatic funding challenges, if these things don't pass, it'll just really be helpful.
Jan, you see the same thing?
Yes, very much so. We have supporters of the Peter White Library Vote Yes Committee. There's five townships. We have people represented in all those townships.
Yeah.
And we have the people working in their communities to support the library, and we meet monthly, bring in ideas, and we're just really having a great time. And we love the library. We just are so enthusiastic. And we have a lot of things going, and I think I'll share a little bit at the end.
Yeah, I've met people, you know, older than I am who grew up with that library, and they're still, it still has that important,
and it's,
you know,
really
sort of
good
affectionate
for
thing in their past.
New people coming into Marquette.
Yeah.
We came here 13 years ago. That was our home, our home away from home, and we just hung out at the library, met all kinds of people, did all kinds of things. I mean, if you're bored, it's your fault, because the library provides all kinds of services.
Amazing.
Yeah.
We're going to get to Powell Township in a minute. Let's consider the remaining two ballot proposals. Mm-hmm. For Marquette Township, as I understand it, that's a request for renewal at the same rate. Is that correct? Any special points or any points of special circumstances you can think of in connection with that?
Marquette Township is the easiest ballot measure that we have in November, the easiest to explain. We're on the ballot about every 2 years with Marquette Township, so it's just a plain service renewal.
Great.
So if it passes in Marquette Township, we continue to get the same revenue from the township. Taxpayers continue to pay the same rate. If it doesn't pass, then Marquette Township residents are not part of the library system anymore. I really don't foresee that happening. It generally passes at upper 70s in support of the library, but it's a very simple, straightforward ballot proposal.
Okay. Now, it becomes a little more complicated with Powell Township, which has a unique proposal in this case compared to the rest. The township has had a kind of an on-again, off-again relationship with the library for about 10 years. Or so, and currently it has no service contract with the library. What's being proposed at this time?
So what's being proposed in Powell Township is a 1.0 mil operating millage. So it's the same as the agreement that we have with all of our other townships.
The other townships, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and one thing that we've talked a lot about with Powell Township is, as John mentioned, we've been expanding outreach services for the last several years, and if we're able to provide services in Powell Township again, we will be looking at additional outreach services that we can offer, not just to Powell Township, but to some of our other townships who are, you know, let's be real about this. Some people drive a long time to get to the library.
Oh, sure.
And we would like to
be able to drop your book off somewhere, right?
Yes.
That kind of thing?
Yep. We do have book returns and at the Scandia Township Hall. We had them in Powell Township in Big Bay when we did have services previously. So that would go back in. But we're also starting a program with Sands Township right now for material drop-off.
Okay.
Darlene Welch from the township supervisor out there, former librarian, very supportive of everything we do, and she's willing to help us pilot that program. It's something that other libraries in the UP do very successfully, and we feel like it would be of real benefit to our outlying townships.
Okay. If I recall, a similar proposal for Powell Township was rebuffed by voters last time around. Is that right?
Yeah.
But not by much, I guess.
Not by
much. No, I think it was just about seven votes.
Seven votes, okay.
Yeah. When my husband and I moved to Big Bay, we had first looked in Marquette, and the one thing that attracted us the most was the library. Again, we were raised with the library.
Sure.
That's where we went. I was a bookmobile kid. And I think that for us is where it's at.
Mm-hmm.
But in Big Bay because of the distance and of maybe just a little bit different technology attitude, that it isn't quite the same.
Yeah.
And they don't see the need for it. They don't understand maybe the totality of it.
We have a different mix of residents, too. You've got
right.
people who aren't there all the time.
Right, right, right. And that's part of the problem, too, mm-hmm. that a lot of times when we're voting, they're not there
yeah.
On the different degrees of residency that's there. We look at it as an investment in the future as far as everything else. But again, if we want to be busy, this is where we would come.
Okay.
Is go to the library and that type of thing. It's a community deal. I give donations to the library. It's where it's happening for me.
Okay.
And I would like the other people to open their hearts as well as their eyes mm-hmm. as to the fact that the library is not free.
Yeah.
They can come in here and use it free. But it isn't. I said they should write a note to someone and thank them for letting them use the library and just put whoever, you know, the Marquette or
it's
whoever
else.
It's
kind of like public broadcasting. We're on the honor system.
Yes, really. Yes. You know, they need to understand that nothing's free. And so for us, when I had to buy a card, when I came here, I got a card because we were with you. And then during this time, I lost my card. I mean, I didn't have it anymore. So I had to buy it. That's okay. I'll do that.
Okay.
But I don't think a lot of people understand all the facilities that are here. And then they think they shouldn't have to pay anything for them. And I'm like, you can't do that.
I have to take a moment here to remind our viewers and especially our radio listeners that we're talking about operational millage for the Peter White Public Library that will appear on the November ballot with Peter White Public Library Director Andrea Engmeyer, Library Board Member John Mallow, Vote Yes Committee Member Janet Joswick of Chocolate Township, and Powell Township resident Kathy Nelson. Let's look more carefully at what got us here. Property tax revenue supports 80% of the Peter White budget. And those funds have been declining over the past 5 years, we mentioned, in part because of drastic reduction in taxes on some big box franchises. What's been the impact on library operations of the so-called dark store tax rollbacks from successful appeals to the Michigan Tax Tribunal?
Well, that's a very complicated question. I wish it was easier to explain because it certainly is more more complicated than just the dark stores.
Yeah.
They are certainly a part of it, but there are a lot of pieces at play that are impacting the general tax base for mm-hmm. municipalities.
You are getting support from the so-called bright stores, right? The people that have not appealed their assessments
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
on those criteria.
Yep, yep. And Janet was actually very involved with the Bright Store mm-hmm. campaign. But it's the impact on funding for local government in general has just gone down. And it's the dark stores, it's, you know, several other issues that are
okay,
in the works,
combined.
But the cumulative effect is that local governmental entities have less money to operate on, and of course, just like at home, your bills keep going up.
Yeah.
So we have things like our retirement plan through MERS, and that payment has gone up and up and up because we're unfunded, as are
I
a
see.
Lot of
okay.
Governmental entities. And so we're struggling with the same thing that a lot of people are with their home, you know, revenues, where your wages may not actually be going up as much as your bills are. And so we're continuing to fall further behind. Plus, we've had some pretty large hits with the closing of We Energies. We've had
right.
several years now where we've lost $30,000 from operating revenue.
And they're shutting down.
And they're shutting down. So it's going piece by piece.
What about you? I'd read some things related to Duke Life Point Hospital, which is moving to a brownfield location,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
or has moved to a brownfield location. The power plant revenue loss is obvious, but
right.
Can you explain how the library is affected by that hospital move?
So the brownfield is a program that captures taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So the hospital is still paying taxes, but they are paying back the brownfield. So the brownfield is in essence a loan that mm-hmm. helped them to do the mitigation work to build the hospital. So in 30
years, we're talking about an environmentally sensitive place, as right. especially identified. Go ahead.
Right. So in about 30 years, the library will start to receive tax revenue from the hospital again when that brownfield is paid off.
Wow. But I won't be on the board.
I won't be here either.
It's good. Ooh. It's a good mechanism for long-term growth of you know, building and blighted areas and things like that. But it does put us in a bit of a predicament for the next several years because we have been receiving about $50,000 in revenue. And some of that will stay. The city's committed to trying to make that property taxable. But we don't know. We don't know what's coming up.
What's going to happen yet. Mm-hmm. In round figures, Peter White reportedly had lost $84,000 in annual revenue as of July mm-hmm. 2018. Mm-hmm. The library expects to lose an additional $140,000 by the year 2020. Mm-hmm. Correct. John, how has the library been able to sustain itself so far? I can imagine some pretty challenging board decisions.
Well, it is, and included in what we've lost, some of them, which is difficult to accept, have been paybacks.
Okay.
To where we had the money and then we had to give it back.
Oh, that was the dark story.
And so that you know, has been challenging. I think first and foremost, I want to compliment. I told Andrea I was going to embarrass her a little bit. We have a great administrative team at the library and unbelievable staff. Yes. You know, Sunday hours was the big one. We closed the day, we lost another hour. Contractual things amongst the staff have been mutually beneficial to the staff and the library to reduce some of our liabilities and the way we've been able to look at insurance and things okay. like that. We've had a lot of energy upgrades that are already, we're seeing great benefits from them, and I walked downstairs through the construction and saw the even more new LED lighting and things that we're putting in.
Right.
That in the scope of someplace like the library, when you look at how big the electricity bill is and how big the water bill is.
How much lighting
we've really saved in those things. You know, we also, staff is cross-training to provide to be able to do additional things. We've had some attrition. They've reorganized so that people have a bigger scope in their job. Sometimes it's a benefit, and I have not seen a loss of services to the library. We'll have lost someone and throughout a search, just it would be at the university. You're not paying somebody while the rest of the staff is covering it. You know, that's happened. Luckily would not be the right word, but it has created a savings
If attrition is effective, it means you're not laying people off, right?
Right. Okay. And we also have an incredible set of donors that people, our foundation, part of our administrative team that does that, we're raising money at the highest clip that we ever have. We were just talking about the amount of volunteer hours, and it's in the thousands of people that are volunteering. We're going to plug the library Friends of the Library bookstore, which is making an incredible amount of money that pays for like most of the licensing fees when you play at the library, Bill. We're probably paying you. So, you know, again, community support, and even with I think the bookstores even help with the donations. We're our collection is growing. You know, with the folks' vast interest here, the things they're donating, we have a room of stuff waiting to go up on the shelves, either as replacement material or something that we're just waiting to catalog.
Okay.
So I think those are the things that we've done so far. And as Andrea stated, with the bond, has helped us also do budgetary things, but it's only going to last for a year, so we don't have to put building improvements in there like we used to because
right.
we're paying for the building improvements, certain upgrades. So I think we have squeezed everything out that we possibly can, and will be some tough decisions if these overrides don't pass.
Given what's available now, along with any further revenue issues or added expenses that might come up, how do you view the financial condition of the library for the next fiscal year, 2018-2019?
So kind of what going along with John was just saying, the budget for 2018-19 is about the last budget year we can reasonably expect to stay in the black without using our library savings.
Okay.
So we can make it another year. hopefully we can find some additional revenue so that we can make it the year after without having big cuts, because we really have cut just everything that we can from the budget at this point.
Well, it seems to me the revenue is extremely reasonable given that this is a millage election. If all five tax proposals pass, it results in about $223,000 in annual revenue. You know, less than $250,000. What would that achieve in terms of fiscal stability in the face of all these tax reversals and financial things?
Well, it really would. It would filter in over time, based mm-hmm. on the different taxing units and when they collect taxes and when they're dispersed. And I think the timing would be really. It would match up really well, so that at the end of it all, when all of the tax revenues were reset and coming in at a normal rate again, we would be able to consider things like maybe now it's time to offer Sunday hours or expanded hours.
Sundays back?
We're really trying, Bill. We're trying, but we have to stabilize our funding situation first. But the ultimate goal of the board is to get the funding stabilized so that we can consider questions like that.
Okay.
Because right now the answer is no time soon.
We don't want this to be a yo-yo effect.
Yeah.
Here's
sure.
Sunday, here's no Sunday, here's,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
So we don't want to be reckless in that. And so I reiterate what Andrea said.
Jan, Kathy, what would you like to see if the books are balanced?
I think
for your community.
I want my card back. But I would like to see more services up to Big Bay for the kids mainly,
okay.
to get them to be
certainly
library
a strong
kids.
Point
yeah.
of the library.
Yeah, mm-hmm. for them to be directed there and just to be able to drop my books off. I usually come down once a week, but it's usually to return my DVDs, you know, and then I work everything else around that. But yeah, I would like to see the library take a little bit more place in the community.
Jan?
Yeah.
I think for me, I love the library. I love what's happening. And if we can keep that going, the meetings are just wonderful. All the different people who meet at the library. You can go in and have discussions, you can meet your friends, you can talk about things.
Presentations, music.
The early childhood program is just wonderful with the babies. I mean, you see babies in their little cradle-like things coming in and daddies with them, and it's just so much fun.
Okay.
So I would like all of that to keep going, and I think people would support
right.
the millage.
Andrea, I hate to ask this, but if some or all of the proposals fail, we've got about 30 seconds, what happens?
We have some very difficult decisions to make. John and I were talking the other day, can we come up with some scenarios? It's so hard because each piece is so different. It's hard to make estimations on what would happen. Certainly some of the easiest things to cut are things like collections. They don't make as big of an impact on the budget as things like staffing. So probably we're looking at service hours.
Okay. I'm afraid we have to leave it there. We've been talking about operating revenue for the Peter White Public Library via some tax proposals on the November ballot with Peter White Public Library Director Andrea Engmeyer, Library Board Member John Mallow, Vote Yes Committee Member Jan Joswick of Chocolate Township, and Powell Township President Kathy Nelson. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
Bill. I'm Bill Hart. Thanks for joining us on Media Meet.
The preceding program was produced in studios located in the Edgar L. Hardin Learning Resources Center by WNMU-TV, Northern Michigan University Public Television.